Hi, hello everybody, and welcome in to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. This one, episode 36, season 2, episode 2, titled A Case of the Mondays. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, and luckily I don't do it alone, as I'm a little under the weather this evening, but we're going to get through and give you a show that you deserve. So let's bring in the show creator, my friend and yours, Adam Canadian Carabine. Adam, come on in here, brother.
Hello, sir. I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling so well, but, you know, as they say, the show must go on.
The show must go on. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I'll do my best to help out, but...
We fight through.
You're still the star. You're still the star, let's be honest. So,
well, we fight through. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I can think of at least twice. I think you were sick on this show last year.
Yeah. At least, you know, I'm... I don't do as much as you do, so.
I don't do as much as you do. I haven't seen.
Well, we try, but we got Freddie Bannister already tuning in. Daytona was wild, he says.
Yes, it was, Freddie.
Yeah, good to see you, Freddie. Freddie.
How you doing, Freddie? Let us know in the comments. Were you happy with the winner? That's what we want to know. Were you happy with the winner?
Yeah.
As William Big Bill Byron got in there.
did you have it? Well, I'm jumping the gun here. I'm getting too excited already, but just was going to ask what you thought about that finish and the caution and all that, but maybe should I leave that till we're official? I mean, we could just officially start our weekend review. I don't know.
Do you want to hit the weekend review button?
I just want to not screw things up here. That's all.
Go ahead. Do that.
Okay. Here we go. Look at that. It's a thing of beauty.
I'm going to give my thing a beauty here so she'll pipe down.
There you go. Yes. Freddie says, doing well, fellas. And yes, I was happy that the kid won it on the 40th anniversary of the first 500 that Hendrick started in. Very good. Yes. Sometimes these things write themselves. Hey, the race gets moved to Monday, and then we suddenly is the 40th anniversary of Hendrick's, Daytona 500 stuff. And William Byron just sneaks in there and gets it. Although it was between him and Bowman. So, Hendrick was getting it no matter what, but
you couldn't script it any better. I know we're supposed to start with the trucks, but Freddie wants to talk about Daytona, so let's do it.
Let's talk Cup.
Let's just win. Look, you can't script it any better. 40 years to the day that Hendrick becomes an entity in this sport, and obviously they would go on to become arguably the greatest team ever, right? I think they are undisputably the greatest team ever. The only other one of the conversation will be the old Petty Enterprises. And I think they've surpassed them in just about every notable category. This did tie them for Daytona 500 wins, what that's worth.
For those of you who are new to the show, that's very big coming from Logan.
Just so you know. I'm here to look. I want to, for this hour, I tell the facts as they are, for the most part. All right, for this hour. Now, for everything else, not so much. But for this hour, I honestly try to tell them how we are. Speaking of someone that tells it how it is, you know, we have a best man that comes on in here and he brings it. And luckily we don't do it alone. So let's bring in our senior open wheel guru. He watched the 500. Colin Best, come on in here.
Hey guys, welcome.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm in an all black background this season here. It's kind of weird. I'm trying out some new camera things. I'm trying to work on a new little setup here, kind of like what Adma has, but right now, because the lighting is bad, I'm using my giant widescreen monitor. I just put like a white little thing on there, like my notes app, and that's my light for the show. But racing is back. I'm so sorry I missed last week. I got my Taylor Swift Eras Tour cup here, and I'm ready to talk some racing. All right,
you just came in just in time. We were talking with Freddie here. He's in the comments. He says, I honestly thought Ross was going to win. He had a good chance if the caution didn't come out. I think it would have been interesting going back to the line. Yeah. I don't know. Why don't we dive into that late race caution there, or I guess the caution that ended the race. What did you guys think of that?
I'll start here. I thought people are making much ado about nothing. I know that controversy and Daytona go together like peanut butter and jelly, right? But like any other time, they would have called the caution there. Any other time, they would have. And you might say, well, they're not going to get back there. Probably not, but But still, just in case, we gotta go have the safety crew check on the drivers, make sure everything's all right. We're going 190 miles per hour here. We don't want anyone to get severely hurt. And if they are, just in case something does go haywire, we need medical personnel to be there as soon as possible. And so while I get that everyone wants to get all up in arms about, oh, they shouldn't have threw the caution there, damn it. Give a little grace. It's a human judgment call. It is a human judgment call. It's not a robot making this decision. It is a human being that taps said button and says, put it out. It is a human judgment call. And if you think that you yourself, if your number one job is not quality of finish or entertainment aspect, and it's just what's the safest way to be for these drivers and for the personnel, I think you make the same call. So I get everyone's up in arms about it, but give a little grace, in my opinion. Colin, what say you?
See, I'm right along with you, Logan. We seem to forget that two people spun across the infield. It was Ross Chastain, but it was also Austin Cindric. And Ross Chastain went towards the infield. Austin Cindric came back up across the track and actually into somebody. In the rule of safety and with the questions about the safety of this next-gen car, you know, people still have those concerns. I don't have a problem with throwing a caution to end the race. It was sort of, to me, refreshing that in the past 5 or 6 years, we've gotten to Daytona 520, to Daytona 538. This year, we actually had a scheduled Daytona 500, and that's what we got. We actually got 500 miles worth of racing. So to me, I mean, I feel like the conversation about throwing the caution is just kind of like one of those things where, you know, it's sort of like last year, a couple of years ago in the Indy 500, when there was a red flag with two to go. And, you know, the traditionalists of the Indy 500, now those two events have two different sort of fan bases and their own, you know, sort of traditions and rituals. But I mean, the same thing applies. That are both 500 mile races. And for what IndyCar did, they red flagged it. So the race actually finished at the scheduled 500 distance mark. We actually got green flag racing to the end. I understand having green flag racing. I think everyone here wants races to end under a green flag at all possible, no matter what circumstances. But when you take the white flag, the rules are rules, and you have to follow them. It's sort of the box that NASCAR has put everyone else in. So to me, I have no problems with that last caution on the last lap.
I completely agree with you, Adam. What say you?
Yeah, I don't have an issue with the caution itself. I think if I had any, you know, bone to pick, it might be that if they'd thrown it a little bit sooner, we could have got an overtime finish, which might have made things a little bit more exciting. Although also, like Colin was saying, that it could have been the first of many overtimes, which could result in, you know, the Daytona 600 here. But yeah, I think, you know, they started wrecking before they took the white flag, and they just were a little bit slow on the trigger there, getting the caution thrown. But there was actually I can't take Colin seriously as he's drinking from his Taylor Swift cup. It's good. There was a method to the madness there too. Apparently NASCAR was considering whether, you know, are these guys just spinning into the infield, and is it going to be safe to run one more lap, or, you know, do we need to worry about safety here? And as they continued to spin, and it got to be kind of a bigger thing, and as you said, Austin Cindric started coming back up towards the racing surface, they did throw the caution, but at that point they had taken the white flag. So yeah, I don't have an issue with it either. We always want just a green flag finish. That'd be the best, but safety is always number one, right? So I'm okay with that.
Safety is absolutely paramount. Everybody here at Racing Refresh, and frankly, every NASCAR fan in the world wants a green flag finish. That's what we all want to see. Like, we want to race till the end of the race, period, right? Everybody wants that. Can't we agree? We can bring America.
Question for you. What I want to know is how do they call that 200 laps? Isn't that technically 199?
You mean like the Daytona 499?
I guess it would be whatever, you know, 497.5.
It's 497.5.
Because the race was over at the white flag, right? Basically, right? So yeah, they didn't finish that last lap. It should be.
I mean,
we
technically,
got beat again, son of a bitch.
technically, they did. The flagman did wave a checkered flag, but it was under caution. I mean,
right.
I mean, it, what was it? They were talking on the Dale Jr. Download. It was like, you know, if the race didn't end under caution in 1998, Dale Earnhardt Sr. may have never won the Daytona 500, you know? Right. So, or if this happened last year, you know, we'd be sitting here and Kyle Busch would have his Dale Sr. moment finally winning the Daytona 500, but it just didn't happen. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're kind of put into a box, but I mean, it's interesting to note if you watch the TV broadcast, which I thought was funny, you know how they marked the 100 yards to the finish line. And it's sort of, if you think about it that in that way, they're moving so fast and covering such a vast amount of distance, pretty much in less than a second. The reaction time is absolutely out the window. But I do get where in the past we've seen cars spin immediately and the caution goes, whereas this one they waited for, you know, pretty much 3 or 4 seconds before the caution came out. So I do see inconsistency with NASCAR. If you're going to call it early for everything. But, you know, let's say they only Ross Chastain spun out and he went down into the infield and got back going. And then the caution came out and we're all like, did the caution come out? Did it have to come out? It's a lose-lose situation for NASCAR either way. And I feel like it's not very warranted on their part.
Agreed.
Well, you know, again, it's going to be a debated thing, right? It's a human judgment call. That at the end of the day, that's the facts of it. And what I would do, or what Adam would do, or what Colin would do, or what Freddie would do, we'd all do differently a little bit if we were in that same spot, because every human's going to look at it a little differently. It's a literal human judgment call, so we have to keep that in mind. Freddie, given his picks for Atlanta this weekend, stay tuned, Freddie. We got picks for you, and you might want to listen to mine because I've been hotter than a pepper.
Uh-oh.
These last, frankly, this last season.
We'll get to those soon, Freddie. Don't worry.
But thank you for giving them. Please stay tuned. Please keep those comments coming, Freddie. We greatly appreciate you more than you can know. But there was – look, Daytona was not without action from the start. I mean, it was early on, and it was getting pretty cattywampus, Adam. You were dialed in. What did you think of that first big one?
Well, yeah, there was a caution on lap 5, which I don't know if we'd call that the big one, but took out some drivers right away.
Maybe a schmedium.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, compared to what became the big one, it was smaller. But I felt bad for, you know, the Kaz Grallas of the world who, you know, barely made it into the race in the first place, had to stay an extra day till Monday, and then ran 5 laps and went home. So it sucks. I mean, it sucks for anyone, but I feel extra worse for just the, you know, those open teams who are, you know, they're trying so hard just to even make the race and to only be able to get 5 laps in. That sucks. So, but yeah, then we had the big, big one. I believe it was lap 190, 191, just about 9 or 8 to go left in the race, and almost took out half the field, really. Do we have anyone that we want to blame for this? I know I've seen some people blaming Keselowski. I've seen some people blaming Byron. Or is this just like, do you think it's a product of this racing? That
on the first lap, that was again bad Brad pushing in the corners like he doesn't need to be doing. Stop it. You did it to Burton a few years ago. Stop it. Pump those brakes, bud. Let's just take it easy here. Instead, he's like a little kid with a new toy, and we got to get everything out of it now. That my personal take on the first one. I don't know about the big, big one. It is a product of this racing. It does, you know.
We're talking about reaction time.
You can't avoid it with this car the way it is and this style of racing the way it is. It's not guaranteed to happen, but it's real close, right? So that's just my take.
Yeah. What about you, Colin?
Yeah, see, I think it's just a product of the racing that we're in. And then sort of, if we go back to every rain-delayed Daytona 500 race or every rain-delayed race probably in the past 10 years or so, I expected a wreck to happen sooner than lap 5, just based on how trends go and how, you know, antsy people get, especially as they sit in the motorhome. And you already saw the truck race, which was an absolute catastrophe. The ARCA race wasn't much better. Surprisingly, the Xfinity series technically put the cleanest show of the entire weekend on the racetrack. But to me, you know, it's just a product of racing now, where these next gen cars are so rigid and so sturdy that you can literally beat the hell out of everybody and you can give these massive pushes. I don't know if the iRacing Daytona 500 was you know, accurate to real life, but the amount of times where I finished P10, by the way, so just throwing that out there, top 10s all around for 500 miles. But the amount of the runs that you get just based on your own self drive, if you're just behind some guy, the biggest run that you think you can get is probably, I would say, 10 or 15 mile an hour plus on the other guy in front of you. And by the time you realize there's no hole, you kind of have to back off, which means everyone behind you has to back off. So you're kind of put in this position where we saw McDowell win the Daytona 500. If you either brake or you get wrecked or you punt the guy in front of you and you wreck him. So to me, as long as we have this next gen style of super speedway racing, we're going to get the same type of racing we saw at every super speedway. Even sometimes I would think this week during Atlanta, where for 95% of the race, it's going to be 2x2, 10 rows deep. And then when 10, 15 to go, or whenever they can make it on fuel, then it's going to be, you know, balls to the wall. Let's go crazy. And then a big one will happen, and then people will start blaming the car and everything. This is just the product of the super speedway package we have now. And unless, you know, something changes, nothing's going to happen.
You know, and it's not going to change for no reason. NASCAR doesn't want it to change. Rexel.
Why would you?
Rexel. Let's be honest about it. Rexel for your TV partners. When they go to Amazon Prime next year, Adam and Colin, you know what they're going to show? Big time flips and Ryan Preece's crash. And, you know, it's look how cool and intense and fire that NASCAR is.
It's a shame, really. It's a shame.
Well, it's a marketing strategy. I don't know about a shame. All right.
Why would NASCAR, I mean, if it wasn't a marketing strategy, why would you go from the Daytona 500? Where you get this sort of action-packed, you know, pack racing. And then I know California's not on schedule, and that's why Atlanta's in the same spot. But coming off the NASCAR special on Netflix and everything like that, you get the casual fan of the Daytona 500, and they like the racing they see, so they're going to tune into Atlanta the next week, and they're going to see the same thing. The problem with the marketing thing is after Atlanta – you're going to a completely different style of racetrack with a completely different style of racing. So then you have to see if the casual fan wants to stick around. So, you know, to me, I think this is a win for NASCAR. You get two big casual viewings at the same time, and you kind of get to see if the Netflix series carried over the popularity into what, Vegas, I think. Vegas is the third race of the season. So
Vegas.
Yeah, so I mean, this is exactly what NASCAR wanted, and this will put butts in seats.
Oh yeah, and there is a butt for every seat. Always, always remember that there's a butt for every seat. There's somebody out there that wants every type of racing that we have on the schedule. Look, at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, it is what it is. I think Atlanta's in the place that's good as they are because they're in a bit of a pinch, right? So you know, we just all right, throw Atlanta on there. I disagree with you, Colin, about the type of racing we will see at Atlanta. I think we'll see a wreck early because they're not doing any practice at all except for qualifying, which I think is stupid. I think is just dumb, just absolutely dumb. I don't understand why we're like, hey, let's go ahead and throw these cars out here to go 180 miles per hour and not give them a lap of practice. That's really smart in my estimation. Hope you're picking up the sarcasm I'm violently putting down. But all right, let's move back because we got it.
I was going to say something here, Logan. Sorry, quick, just about the carryover of fans from race to race. I don't know if you guys saw Jeff Gluck tweeted. Someone had posted a comment on his podcast. Someone who was basically not a NASCAR fan until they saw the Netflix series and then watched the Daytona 500. They said this was the first race I watched after becoming interested following the Netflix show, and overall it was an enjoyable time. This race was definitely good enough to keep me watching, and so now we'll have to see how long that lasts. It's going to have to be high quality racing for me to be able to put up with how little I relate to the culture surrounding the sport. So let's hope they keep it up. So, I mean, so far, I guess, you know, even the fact that it got moved to Monday hasn't completely hurt things as far as this, the Netflix effect, if you want to call it that. So
the Netflix effect. AJ says it's not guaranteed to happen, but it's real close. And he says that's me describing the excitement the next time Kyle Busch wins. Boy, boy. Golly day. Long live the rowdy one, right?
just not the energy drink, but
yeah. That went today the way of the dodo bird.
Yeah. That's too bad. It was good. I liked it.
Well, there's lead and mercury in it, Adam.
Yeah. I'm loving it.
I mean, there's something like some little bit of lead and mercury in your body.
All right.
That's why I could only get it down in the States. That's why.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move back. The truck race. Nick Sanchez did get his first win, of course, for Spire Motorsports now after the buying of KBM. And other than that, there's not much more you can say about that as far as in a positive light. It was a bit of a kerfluffle, a Donnybrook. Honestly, it was a bit of a show. Let's just put it that way. It was a bit of a show. And he got what I'm putting down. I know people like to knock the trucks, and I get it. And then I think they're a little bit too hard on the truck series. But then there's races like this where it becomes apparent as to why they do that. This was not a very enjoyable watch. There was action from the word go, if you're into that sort of thing. About the fifth lap, everybody crashed. And I love you, Thad Moffitt, but hit the brake, bud. What are we doing? What are we doing?
My goodness.
I said he's just going to keep going, I guess. Yeah. That's all right.
It was something.
Stop the damn truck. But all right.
Congrats to Nick Sanchez, though. I'm happy that he got his first win, his first career win in NASCAR.
True. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not one of those people that say the truck series is a joke, get rid of it, yada, yada, yada. No, I don't believe that. I think some races are jokes, and this ended up kind of being one. But I still think it serves its purpose and is laying the foundation for the future of this sport. And it's giving some veterans another opportunity to be in the sport. Ty Dillon, I'm talking to you. I think there's a place for that. I always will. You guys got any thoughts on the truck race where we talk some Xfinity?
You know, the funny part to me about this whole entire truck race was that reports came out on Twitter that the competition director for the NASCAR Truck Series sat everyone down and said, hey, we can't have a replay of what happened in Phoenix. All right. What happened in Phoenix was an embarrassment on this series. And they come out at Daytona and they do pretty much the exact same thing. This was not a fun watch. This was a tough watch to see what you think is the next stars of the sport, the next people coming up. And if you think about it, Zane Smith and Carson Hocevar went from the Truck Series to the Cup Series. Like this, the Truck Series and the Cup Series are the most relatable of the two. And if you do well in trucks, it's probably going to be not as steep of a learning curve from the trucks to the Cup Series, whereas you go from Xfinity to Cup, then you're pretty much learning how to drive all over again. So you have these guys who probably have a lot of talent, and I like Nick Sanchez. I think he has a lot of talent too, and Rajah Karuth. There's a lot of good guys in that Truck Series, but by God, it was a C-fixed Truck Series event at iRacing where it's just wrecks happen all the time, and no one really gives any room. I don't know if this is going to be fixed by this weekend when Atlanta rolls around. This is a issue where cancer needs to be cut out of the body of the Truck Series. I think there are some people like what Kyle Busch said about, I can't remember, his Garrett Smithley. There's probably guys in the Truck Series right now who probably haven't won a late model race that just have money and they can get a truck ride. To me, I'm sorry to say, but I feel like the Truck Series shouldn't race at super speedways anymore. It should be what it was in the beginning, where maybe like you go to Daytona and Talladega once a year, or maybe just Daytona, but the majority of the time you're on tracks a mile or less, and that's it. Because you're trying to work your way up, trying to work your way into some competition, and the Truck Series, to be honest with you, was great when it went to like some short track in the middle of nowhere and 10,000 people showed up for it. That was real, you know, grassroots racing. That's what the Truck Series has always been. So to me, I think this is the plea to the powers that be. Maybe you shouldn't race trucks on super speedways or speedways as often as you do.
I'm just going to take a moment to put up here. AJ, giving me the gears over my pronunciation of Nick Sanchez. I'm sorry, AJ.
At least you're not Kevin Harvick going Buescher.
Yeah, that's weird.
I did Buescher. Mexican food menu and go, I want this because I couldn't pronounce it.
There you go. You got to do what you got to do. Let's move on to the Xfinity race, which I think, Colin, you said is was the jewel of the weekend. Is that?
It was in the time slot where it was the jewel of the weekend. If you think about it, it was in prime time on Monday night on FS1. I'm sorry, I thought if you wanted to make the Daytona 500 the big event, you don't make it the first event of the day at a racetrack. I'm sorry, you put the best of the best at the end, which should be the Daytona 500. To me, the Xfinity Series should have had the 3 o'clock start, and the Daytona 500 should have had the prime time start. And imagine the ratings and the social media talk of surrounding the entire event. It would have been better. But, you know, hey, I don't run a multi-billion dollar company, and I probably make smarter decisions than some people at the top. But, yes, the Xfinity Series was the best race of the weekend. Austin Hill is Dale Earnhardt incarnate. He is a god among super speedways, and no one can touch him. It is this sort of Denny Hamlin-esque, he's probably the best super speedway driver in NASCAR and any of the three series at this point. But the only thing I have to say, that my major takeaway, it was funny hearing Andy Petrie talk about Sheldon Creed and go, oh my God, Sheldon Creed and Austin Hill were such good teammates last year. Oh my gosh, they worked really well together. But we all know how Sheldon Creed left RCR and how he's sort of just kicked out of the door. But it was funny for Andy Petrie to kind of say that on national TV. But me being like, hey, he was kind of a D-I-C-K to Sheldon Creed as he left. Do you remember Martinsville? Does anyone remember last year? I feel like we just forgot about it. Like, we forgot about everything.
It's a clean slate.
No, man. We still talk about Ty Gibbs on Twitter like he's the next coming of Jesus himself. It's still a thing. Remember he compared himself to Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
It's because he gets us. He gets us.
No, I think Ty Gibbs is going to have a great season. Freddie said Jesse Love was doing good in the Xfinity race until they made a rookie mistake, but it happens. I mean, he thinks the kid's going to do well in the two-car for RCR. I agree. I think he's going to have a real good year. I think he's got plenty of talent. Of course, he's in a good ride. I think Jesse Love is going to have a pretty good season. Some people think he'll be rookie of the year.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can Austin Hill be touched? Is he the GOAT on super speedways, Logan?
No, he's the GOAT right now. He's the GOAT for this conversation, but good for him. But three times does not a GOAT make, that's three consecutive is pretty unheard of. I'll give him that, but let's see him do it. Let's see him do it on the Cup side. Then we'll talk GOAT.
Yeah,
I'm not taking anything away from him, but the Xfinity series is still not our top series. So I have a hard time being like, yeah, he's it. He's gonna be it. Pump the brakes. Credit to him. You know, he knows how to put himself in the right place for these races. The great question is what does his future hold? Because there's a bit of a log jam. There's a bit of a log jam at RCR. Obviously, that's another show for another time. But he feels like he's ready to move up to the next series. But there's not much of a path. But again, another show for another time. What do you say we move on to happy hour headlines?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's putting me in my Taylor Swift era.
Look at you hitting that. Look at you,
Colin. Have you even seen our new graphics? We've got everything's all neon all the time.
I was working last week. I have it.
I know. I'm. I'm going to literally replay the weekend review just so you can see it because it's cool.
Yeah, thank you. So I can take another sip.
Ooh, there you go. Is that nice?
Yeah. Peggy's been doing some work over the offseason.
She's busting her butt.
She's doing really good.
She's not busting her butt this evening. I don't know where in overall she is. Good Lord.
Well, we await her return.
I hope she pops in during the show. But
yeah,
I'll,
that'd be nice.
I'll find her afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk happy our headlines. First, Chris Hacker with his accident and injury. Adam, you want to break that down for us?
Yeah, so Chris Hacker was headed to Daytona, and a semi-truck actually jumped over the center line and hit his car head-on, and he was taken to the hospital. Initially, they thought he was just, you know, really lucky to just have some bumps and bruises, but I guess they did like a CAT scan or something and found he had a bunch of internal injuries. So I think they removed his spleen. He's got a bunch of like stuff going on. He was in critical care for a minute there, and he's now recovering and doing okay. Seems like he's got a good sense of humor about it. I don't know if you've seen him on Twitter at all, but yeah, just, you know, we send our thoughts out to Chris Hacker. Hope he does all right. And, you know, hope he's back behind the wheel, you know, on the track again soon, hopefully. So
we sure do. We send our condolences and our thoughts and our prayers to him, and hope that he gets well. And we do. We like the fact he's keeping a sense of humor. A NASCAR Manager mobile game is now available worldwide. Adam, are you a mobile game guy?
I'm not a huge mobile game guy, but I don't know. Like this has been released recently as like it's now available worldwide. I've been playing this game for a couple months already. I don't know if Canada got like an early beta of it or something. I don't know. Have you guys tried it yet at all?
I have not tried it. How do you like it?
I saw pictures of it, and I mean, it's NASCAR licensed, but there's no NASCAR teams in there.
No, yeah. It's
racing against like the 11 or 42 or anybody. You're racing against like generic, like, yeah, you know, the EA. In the EA cars back from the old NASCAR EA days, like the 118 for the Walmart car or something like that. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever played the F1 Manager game.
No.
It's very similar, honestly. It's you pick when you want to pit, you pick, you know, whether you take fuel or not, and whether you take tires. It's about it, and then the car goes around the track on its own. So it can be fun for a little bit, but I don't see this as like the huge slam dunk that, you know, it's nothing new really. It's just rebranded as NASCAR instead of Formula One, if you ask me. So I don't know. It's not that exciting.
NASCAR, the ratings are in for the Daytona 500. 6 million viewers we got on that Monday special at 4 p.m. That's pretty good numbers, really. With all the cord cutting and 4 o'clock, it's pretty solid numbers. To put it in perspective for you, via Adam Stern, the last rain impacted Daytona 500 in 2021 got 4.83 million viewers, but the race finished Sunday night. The last time there was a Monday finish was 2020 when the president came. That got 7.33 million viewers. So that was just to put that in perspective for you. Overall, pretty good numbers.
Not bad for a Monday night, yeah. Or for Monday daytime, sorry.
Yeah, pretty good numbers. Do we think Haley Deegan's going to win a race this year in Xfinity? Freddie wants to know. I'm going to say no. Nope.
Well, maybe you should stay tuned for hot takes there, Freddie. Maybe one of us. Maybe I'm showing my hand already, but who knows? Maybe
this isn't a hot take. No.
do not tell me that's one of your hot takes.
Well, I don't know. You'll have to wait and see. You'll have to wait be a and hot see.
Take. It's no.
It'd be have the track that you think she could do it at?
Yeah, practice in the simulator.
We got some Haley Deegan haters here on.
Haley Deegan. I just not in a good enough car to where she can probably pull a win off. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
Well, never say never, Colin. Easy, pal.
If she does,
it'll be a day or Daytona, and by surprise, if so. So he doesn't think he's so. So Adam, you might be a man on your own island here.
I might be.
This is your hot take.
I don't think it's going to be at super speedways. She's not great at them. She's not great at them. She doesn't like them. I don't see it being that. If she does get her first win, whether it's this year or whoever, you know, whenever, I don't think it'll be at a super speedway. That's
what if she never wins?
She may never win. It's true. She may never.
There ain't a dirt track on the Xfinity Series schedule. Sorry.
NASCAR plans to take a much deeper dive into the fuel strategy from the Daytona 500.
Yeah, I saw that.
What do you think of that? What does that mean? Speak English here. What's that mean?
It means that the drivers, in an effort to save fuel for the good part of stage one and the Daytona 500, were running slow, running really slow just to save fuel. And it was kind of weird. It didn't come across so much on TV. They still looked kind of normal on TV, but if you were looking at lap times, they were running like 3 or 4 seconds slower than they normally would. And the weirdest one for me was that AJ Allmendinger was off the back. He was not with the main pack. And usually that's like a death sentence at one of these drafting tracks where if you fall out of the pack, you're hooped. You'll never catch up. He was running 3 second faster lap times than the pack, just because he was the only one running full throttle. And so I think NASCAR does not love the idea that, the green flag goes at the start of the race and everyone just kind of, tiptoes on the gas pedal and doesn't give it their all. I think they want people racing hard through the entire race, but I'm not sure how you combat it, really. I don't know what you do to fix things so that they do that other than, I don't know what you do. Yeah.
This is NASCAR, ladies and gentlemen, which means if there is a rule, someone is working their ass off as we speak to bend it, if not fully break it and get away with it. That has been a thing forever. That's just how it is. That's how NASCAR works. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you increase like minimum speed somehow or like?
I don't know if there's anything you can do because this is NASCAR. We're always working to bend the rules.
Well, it's not, I don't know if they're necessarily bending the rules. They're realizing how important a shorter pit stop is. And when you have less fuel to put in the tank, it takes less time. So
Ray Abraham is a self-admitted cheater. Like that. There's no denying that. It's just true.
Yeah.
Richard Petty would adjust his tailpipe to suck the engine out of the car behind him.
Right.
Because you could. It whatever NASCAR tries to come up with, someone's going to go, screw you, I'll figure this out.
Right.
It's a culture thinking. It's not just NASCAR. It's a whole
sports. I think sports, it's sports, right? In general. Yeah.
You ain't trying. You're
always looking for an edge, for sure.
Kyle Busch is running some races for Spire in the Truck Series starting this weekend. He'll be in the 7 truck. Of course, he's now a consultant for Spire Motorsports, at least on the truck side, after the KBM deal went down.
Well, it's his old team. I mean, maybe on the surface you might see that and say, oh, weird. Why is he working with Spire? But it's because they bought his old team. And I think there was probably an agreement in there that he was still wanted to run the occasional truck race. And there he goes. He'll be, I think, 6 races is what they said this year in the truck series.
5.
And, oh, well, I can't read, but right. 5 races starting in Atlanta. So
he'll do 5 races starting in Atlanta. It's a great experience for the rest of the field to race with the GOAT of this generation, arguably the GOAT. Period. He's in that conversation.
Yep.
It doesn't make for the most entertaining truck race usually when he's around because he tends to not always, but he tends to mop the floor. He tends to mop the floor like he's a fast food worker on the third shift. But it's great experience for these guys to learn and have their floor mopped by Kyle Busch and maybe get a little more of that respect factor that is missing in all levels of NASCAR, but certainly it's missing. It's in vital life support on the truck series. Colin, any thoughts on Kyle Busch coming back to the trucks?
See, I like it because last year when he was in the trucks, he ran competitive. He only won one time. And more often than not, by only winning one time, that means truck series regulars are beating you. More specifically, the actual people he employed, the drivers he employed, were actually beating him on a consistent basis. I'm not saying Kyle Busch has lost a step. Maybe the competition level in the truck series has just increased, but we would never know it because they can't go make a green flag run longer than 10 laps because they just wreck everybody. So, to me, I want Kyle Busch to be in 10 truck races a year. I want Kyle Busch to be in 10 Xfinity Series races a year. I think more Cup guys should be in these lower levels of racing just to either A, help teams get sponsorship money, to get more track time because there's less practice, or just because they love racing. I mean, Kyle Larson coming to the Truck Series race at North Wilkesboro was very fun to see because he actually had a battle pretty much the entire event to get that win, even though he sort of led the most laps. But there were people behind him, you know, clobbering at him trying to get that win. So to me, these guys can run as many truck and Xfinity races as they want, as long as they don't run in the playoffs. I'm totally fine with that.
I actually agree with you, Colin. I've evolved on that stance since since the early days of Racing Refresh. I used to hate it. I used to hate it because I didn't see the value in it. Well, there's incredible value in it, actually. You can go back to the early archives of this show. I'm talking about in the AJ and Lawler days, and I am complaining up a storm like a white woman that's been done wrong at a restaurant.
Wow.
About how awful this is.
Wow.
About how awful this is. And that could not have been a more ignorant view. Do I still enjoy it personally to see Kyle Busch go out there and work it like a part-time job at Kinko's? No, I don't. That's not fun for me to watch. From an entertainment standpoint, I hate it. However, it is clear that these guys in these lower series need that experience, because the only thing that's changed about the lower series, especially the truck series, is the lack of veterans being allowed to take part. And now we have races like Daytona where you can't go five laps without something happening. And that's just not conducive to – I would rather watch a boring product than an absolute messy product, if that makes sense. So the change, it must be because the vets can't be as involved. And I think you make a great point for the younger guys that are trying to get, you know, lap times and trying to get some seat time. You know, guys like, I know he's not a rookie, but John Hunter Nemechek comes to mind. He had 1 year in 2020, went back down. And now you're back up in the Cup Series with Legacy Motor Club, but the seat time is not what it once was for rookies, or someone like Noah Gregson, for that matter, who competed half a season. These guys need more seat time to get better in the worst way. Why not let them go down and take part in the Xfinity and Truck Series? It just feels counterproductive to your sport, in my view. You should not feel that way. But again, I got a little smarter and I got better looking. So that's my take. I've evolved on it. I would like to see some of the vets and some of the younger guys of the Cup Series be allowed back in more often in the lower series. Adam, you got any thoughts?
No, I agree with you. I think it's important to like have a couple. Some limits on the number of races they run. I'm not necessarily on board with there being, you know, being able to run basically the entire regular season. I don't know if that's, you know, possible, but I think having a limit on there is good, just so that, you know, it gives the truck series regulars a chance. You know, you don't want to have all those races be won by cup regulars, but yeah, I'm all for it. And I was just, as you were speaking, I was trying to find, I read a quote earlier today. I can't remember from who or where. So it's, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but basically it was one of the truck series drivers was saying, you know, we like it when the truck or the cup regulars come down and it challenges us. It makes us rise to the task. And so, you know, it's not that they're feeling besmirched, if you will. They're they're enjoying the extra competition, whether they, I mean, how much sweeter is it when you can win a truck race and say, I also beat Kyle Busch, who was coming down. I don't know. It's cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And then, but let's keep moving it along. Colin, IndyCar changed their final race to an oval. Let's break it now.
Yeah, so I think the move comes as we saw about maybe at the end of last year that the championship race for the IndyCar series was going to be the streets of Nashville with a reconfigured circuit as construction begins to take place for the new Nissan Stadium there for the Tennessee Titans. I think because of the continued construction efforts in Nashville, that street race is probably not going to be the best fit for the city, so they moved it to another oval, which I think for me as an IndyCar traditionalist, I think having more ovals on the schedule makes that series better. It's the first time since 2011 that a championship race has been at an oval in IndyCar for a pretty long time. As we probably all know why that happened. But it's good to get back. I think Nashville has been a traditional IndyCar circuit for a very long time, pretty much since the inception of the Speedway. So now we're going back. I think it's an overall win for the series. I think people, me included, have been clamoring for more and more oval events. And the problem with these oval events is that all of these ovals are owned by NASCAR, either through ISC or through SMI. So you can't really get enough ovals on the schedule because you kind of have to work with NASCAR, and IndyCar doesn't want to do that. So Nashville was, I think, the next best choice. I think, to me, this is just another one of those latest IndyCar wins we've been seeing in the past couple of years. And speaking of IndyCar wins, on my screen right now in front of me that's providing me light, there's an IndyCar series preview for 2024 that will be on racingrefresh.com on Friday. So you guys can check that out. It's going to be a very fun, very long-winded article. It's already over 2,000 words. It's everything you need to know for the 2024 IndyCar series, as we are now 3 weeks away from the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. So this should be a very fun time for me. The only problem is we go to St. Pete, and then it's a month off. There's no IndyCar. So, yay, good job. Good job, Roger. I'm so proud of you.
Long live the captain. Long live the captain. Now, I can't wait to see that preview column. Do want to get to a comment from Freddie before we move on to hot takes. He said, I agree with you fellas on it, but the one thing that was iffy is these young kids trying to win and make a name for themselves, and these drivers that are better. Yeah, they're better overall, and they're coming down to clean house and take wins from the younger drivers. Yeah, I get it. And that was my take for a long time. But Freddie, all I can see is a bit of a regression in the truck series, right? And so the only thing that's really changed is the lack of veteran involvement. So until I see otherwise, I have to believe that maybe that veteran involvement, even though it doesn't make for the most entertaining product, it would help in the more long run scenario. That's just my take. What's your take, Freddie? Let us know. But let's move on to hot takes. And they're piping hot. They're piping hot from what I understand.
Now, Adam, are you writing these down? Are you keeping track?
Yeah, I keep track. I'm keeping receipts.
Adam, take it away.
Let's, before we do that, I think we have a message here from our regular show producer Peggy. She's been on puppy duty all day, and she crashed and fell asleep.
I knew her slacking. I knew it.
We had a feeling. So it's okay. We're happy you're all right. We're happy everything's all right.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. So yeah, Colin, you weren't here last week for hot takes. We're kind of working this out on the fly here. It's new this season. Basically, we're each going to take a turn. We each get a hot take. It's important to note that the hot take has to be verifiable by the end of this season. So we don't want any like super long, far away hot takes. We're going to have a show at the end of the year where we basically look at how stupid we were or how smart we were. And we didn't do this last week, but I think what we'll do is we'll rank these hot takes on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being super hot and 1 being ice cold. And, you know, maybe that'll play a role further on down the line. We'll see what we think. So which one of you wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, what do you got for us, Colin?
So I, as you guys know, I'm a huge Denny Hamlin shill. I'm a very big fan of the FedEx man, who he always delivers every single week on and off the track. But this pains me to say this. I believe that Denny Hamlin will not even make the Elite Eight in the NASCAR playoffs this year.
Interesting. What do you think, Logan?
If he wins the Clash any single year, he statistically does not have a good year. So I think that trend will continue. So he does not even make the Elite Eight.
Interesting. How hot do we rank that, Logan? What do you think?
I'd give that a good 5 or 6.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yeah. I'll give it a 6. I'm happy with that.
So I'll just give you 1 because I made a list.
You'll just have to save them. We're doing just one at a time. Okay. We just make it a good one. Pick your best one each week. Logan, have you got one this week?
Yeah. Harrison Burton gets the 100th win for Ward Brothers this year.
It's that's pretty hot too.
That's a 7 or an 8 or even a 9 maybe.
So wait, you said he stays employed by Wood Brothers next year?
He gets the win this year, so yes.
That's like an 8. That's a solid. Yeah,
it's pretty high. I'm good with 8.
It's a flapjack worth.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Mine's a little more, I guess, what's the word? More, you'll find out sooner whether I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
I'm going to say William Byron goes back to back and wins the first two races of the season. He's going to win at Atlanta as well.
He's going to pull the old Matt Kenseth. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. I'm too young a NASCAR fan to understand the reference, but wow. I will agree.
Well,
he won the 500, the rain shortened 500 in like 2011, 12, sometime around. It was the same year that it wasn't the same year that Montoya hit the jet dryer. It was like the year before. And then he went to Auto Club and then dominated at Auto Club. So he won the first two races of the year. It was a great time.
AJ's got a hot take in the comments.
Hold on. We gotta give mine a score here. What do you think?
I'd say it's 3.
Yeah, 3.
Yeah.
Well, here's the reason why. Because William Byron does good at Atlanta. He's won there. He won there last spring. So, I mean, him going back-to-back in the spring races, I don't think it would be out of the question for me.
All right, fine. I'll take it. 3.
Yeah.
We'll go with AJ here. He says, Jimmy Johnson and Eric Jones win cup races in 2024. He's ranking in himself hot level Chipotle the next morning.
The Jimmy take especially, yes.
Look at this smile on Logan's face. My goodness.
The Jimmy part, he needs to stick to NHRA.
I think Eric Jones can win this year for sure. Especially after seeing Jimmy in the 500, it didn't go so well for him there. I don't think it's going to happen for Jimmy Johnson, but I guess, does that make it a hotter take then if we think it won't happen?
Oh,
that's a 9. Like if Jimmy Johnson wins, that's a 9. Yeah. But I mean, I have high expectations on Eric Jones this year. So like him getting a win or two isn't out of the question for me, but the Jimmy Johnson brings it up to a 9.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a hot take.
I'll do it. Yeah.
Like 10 would be like Jimmy Johnson comes back full time, wins his 8th championship, then just bounces. Like that would be a very hot take, but
that would be something. All right, well there you go. Those are hot takes for today. Very good. Well, this segment will need some work still, I think. But you know, what do you
say we do a little weekend preview?
Yes, sir.
We have races this week. My God,
look at this! Isn't it nice to just have regular racing back?
Like, it is.
Isn't it great?
Dude, I just want to say real quick before we get to weekend predictions, today was the first day of – I know we're not covering F1 this year on Racing Refresh because I don't want to talk about Max Verstappen winning every single race this year. I don't think anyone here wants to talk about Max Verstappen winning every single race this year. But it's the first day of preseason testing for F1, and he's 1.1 seconds faster than the entire field, and I believe he's sandbagging. This is a problem. This is a huge problem. We are going to be hearing the Dutch national anthem way more than any other national anthem in the world this year. It's going to be absolutely just a schlock. Max Verstappen is just going to whip it out and slap the entire field for 26 weeks in a row. This isn't going to be a fun year, all right? This is Andretti didn't get an F1 bid. That, I mean, we can talk about that later, but like, come on. Like F1's been taking L's all year. I'm glad we got away from F1. Sorry. It's a little rant. We'll move on.
I'm going to go back to a comment that Freddie gave us much earlier. I told him we'd come back to it. He was talking about his picks for Atlanta this weekend. He's got Bailey Curry for trucks and Cole Custer for Xfinity. And Cup, he's saying either Larson or Bowman. So riding that Hendrick train still for sure. We've got AJ's just flooding us with various hot takes that I don't even know. He wins the 2024 US presidency.
I didn't even spell hot right.
Could be Mad Max in F1 any week. And won the Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, there
we
go.
I believe that's spelled J-I-M-M-Y on that one. anywho, those are some piping hot takes. Let's talk Atlanta. We do have the Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup all back together for another fun, Roush-filled super speedway mamma jamma. let's hope that things go better for the Truck Series on Atlanta. They can't go much worse, ladies and gentlemen. We don't really make picks for Trucks and Xfinity, but I'll go Ben Rhodes. I think he gets a dub this weekend. And then Xfinity, I'll take John Hunter Nemechek, who's back in the 20 for Gibbs. He's splitting that ride with Eric Amaroli. So that's what I'll go with.
Austin Hill again on a super speedway like
his magic is at Daytona. He doesn't seem to bring that wand to Atlanta.
I don't know, but you know, we'll see. I don't know. Is Colin frozen or is he? Oh, he was just so still.
I was looking at the entry list for Atlanta because
which you can find on RagingRefresh.com.
Anyway, I'm going to go out of the box for my truck race. I'm going to take Timmy Hill. Gets the win. He gets his first NASCAR win ever at Atlanta. And then for the Xfinity Series, I'm just going to close my eyes and click on a number and see where I land. And it is Parker Retzlaff. Parker Retzlaff gets his first win. So I'm going first-time winners, baby.
He came third in Daytona, so it's not crazy.
William Byron can go from iRacing to winner. Parker Retzlaff can go do it.
Freddie, we don't mind you asking. I don't have any extras. I have very few actually. Yeah. I don't have any extras. If I ever get some, I'll be glad to send them your way.
Yeah, Freddie, I've actually only ever been to the track as media.
You're not allowed to get your hero cards.
It's kind of frowned upon to go taking those. So I wish we did, but sorry, buddy.
I have very few. It's
one of the sucky parts about being in the media center is you can't be a fan. I know, like, that's you can't be a fan about any.
It's true. Yeah, it is a little like
you gotta hide your fandom.
You're like, if like Martin Truex Jr. wins and Adam's at Sonoma, he's like under his breath. He's like, yes.
Yeah. I was at Sonoma when Martin Truex won, and I was like, yay.
Martin, what's it like to be the best driver on this best driver in the world? And then every media member looks at you like, what'd you say? Jim Utter tows your car. I don't know. Like, things happen.
You did a quick little, and then that's it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Martin Truex Jr., you're so great. Sorry, you were great today. You were great today.
All right, it's time to go. It's time for some Racing Refresh picks. What do you say?
Yeah. There we go.
So explain the rules for our new listeners, especially me.
For you. Because
last week,
our newest listener,
like, I can only take the top 26. And I'm like, there's 36 races in the year. What are you talking about?
Okay, so listen, the regular season is 26 races. So we are resetting our picks at the end of the regular season this time. So we're just picking from the top 26 because you can't pick the same person twice. And, after that, we will only be able to pick from playoff drivers. It's just, it's a new rules. I'm just trying new things out. And also, first place pick, like whoever picks the best finishing driver gets 4 points, 3 points for second, 2 points for third, 1 point for fourth. So it'll be a little different this year, but, I'm not sure if producer Peggy is still tuning in here. She actually gets first pick today. Because yeah, she lost.
Forgot.
Loser goes first. Logan won. He picked Bubba Wallace, came fifth.
Who did I pick again?
You had Keselowski. Came 33rd. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll wait for a minute here and see. Oh, she is here. Okay. Who's your pick, producer Peggy?
I'm here.
I think her pick might just be.
Yeah, take the nine. He's in the Hooters card this week.
She's taking too long to answer. We gotta we got to wrap up our show
we're
here.
We're already over our hard cap here.
I know.
I got to go.
We all got to go.
We all got to go.
Peyton wants Jamie McMurray. She is taking Chase. Okay, I'm assuming you mean Chase Elliott and not Chase Briscoe.
Yeah, no, nobody calls Briscoe Chase, I promise.
Yeah, no, we'll okay, we're going Chase Elliott. Next up is Colin. Who you got?
You know, I thought about this long and hard. I thought about this for 5 minutes before the show started, and I got to be honest with you. It's you're only as good as your last at bat. And yep. The last time we were here, someone came from out of nowhere and had a great run and came up just a little bit short. This week, last week, he had the fastest QR code in the world. This week, he's not in that QR code, and you can't get dollar marks from Chili's. But I'm going to take Corey LaJoy.
Solid pick. I don't think that's a terrible pick at all. I like that. I am going to go with, because I'm next, by the way, I'm going to take Justin Haley. I feel like, you know, he's doing some good things in that 51 car this year. I think it's looking good. Logan, finish us up.
I'll take Noah Gregson.
All right. Former LMC darling, if you will.
Yeah. All right. It didn't last long, but we were together.
Well, best of luck to you all. I hope I win, but we'll go from there.
All right. With that, yes, it's time for a little closing time, isn't it?
Sure is.
All right. Well, it's hey, I'll hit the gritty. If I get the dub next week, I'll hit the gritty for you, I promise. No one does the gritty quite like Noah Gregson. I keep that gif on me. Just so we're clear. So with that, it's been another wonderful show. It's been another case of the Mondays. Colin Best, some final words.
So I'm glad to be back. I'm sorry I missed last week, but you know, my real world, it called and I had to be there. A little thing, you won't see me in March, starting, you know, the last week of March into the first week of April. I'll be on my honeymoon. I won't be here. I'm going to Japan. I'm going to get some sushi. I'm going to get some crab flavored Doritos for some reason. There's in Japan. It's kind of fun. But anyway, IndyCar's content is back on racingrefresh.com. Also, Tech Tuesday is coming back. So that's going to be a little fun thing. And also, iRacing Refresh is coming back as well for 2024. And a little announcement, I think we should all let you know that Racing Refresh has partnered with an iRacing league that is broadcasted every Monday and Thursday night. And it's a Xfinity Series and a Truck Series race. So you can catch that out on 15studios.com. We'll put the link on our Facebook page. You can watch it. But we're sponsored. Like, if you watch the broadcast, the Racing Refresh logo is at the bottom. There's a Racing Refresh car. It's amazing.
Good-looking car.
Our friend Matt Nicholson is also in the league as well. So, you know, you got some great people. If you've watched Racing Refresh for a while, there's some people you could root for. So, yeah, it's fun. We're having fun here. Great things for 2024. We're in our Kobe year, all right? We got to keep winning and winning and winning on and off the track. So that's all I have. Just look out for all the content coming your way in 2024. But just know that for about 2 weeks in spring, I won't be here. I don't get time off for my real job. I don't get really time off for this. So I'm going to take 2 weeks off, and I'm going to enjoy myself in Japan. Good eating sushi and seeing a life-size Gundam statue. That's cool.
Nice. Enjoy, brother. Enjoy it. Keep us up to date on that. Adam, any final words?
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, everyone. It's always nice to engage with the comment section. And also just wanted to shout out, I just put out this morning my kind of race recap thing where I'm starting something new. It's called The Freshies. It's kind of like almost an award ceremony after each race. So you can check it out. It's kind of an homage to an old sports writer from the Vancouver area who passed away a little while ago. So go check that out if you like it, racingrefresh.com. And we'll be keeping it locked here. We got lots of content coming your way. So come check us out.
That we do. Please check out racingrefresh.com. And for my final words, I again want to say thank you to both you gentlemen for doing a lot of the heavy lifting this evening. As you can hear, I'm not quite 100%. But we're getting there. We'll be tip-top shape next week. I'm quite sure of it. I think even Peter will be able to stay awake for it, I believe. Content coming up. I'm working on some cool things. Adam, you and I have talked about it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something commemorating the 75th year of Petty Racing. I'm going to do something commemorating the 40th year of Hendrick Racing a little bit down the line. The Petty's going to come first because I get to decide what content I create, and I like them a little better. And so that's coming up. Obviously, Racing Refresh will continue to provide you with starting lineups and all the race recaps you can handle and the race results and all those sort of things. So keep it locked to racingrefresh.com and get yourself a fine T-shirt if you'd like. There's been our merch store has been updated. Colin's face is on one, as is mine. And who doesn't want...
I'm getting that shirt for Christmas. For everyone who knows me, they're going to get a shirt with my face on it.
You should make that happen. So with that, we appreciate you so much for tuning in. Freddie, thank you. AJ, thank you. Peter, thank you for still finding a way to be a part of this evening. And we can't wait to see you next Wednesday where we'll break down all the Atlanta action. And until then, we'll see you at the next track.